We are opening the archives from when I first launched the show as part of a class at City College of San Francisco's KCSF. Across a decade on air, chronic crises we identified years ago only got worse in the pandemic and continue to plague our communities today as they struggle to address these familiar crises, such as underfunded governments, unhoused citizens, drug overdoses, and food scarcity. We're going back to when we first hosted a panel discussion with friend of the show, Judy Brown, on what is civic innovation. Post-pandemic, with fewer state, federal, and local dollars, higher prices, empty office buildings, and AI replacing workers, our pre-pandemic government model is broken.
This is George Koster from Voices of the Community. Welcome to today's show, which is focused on civic innovation. In today's show, our voices of the community are Krista Kanellakis, the Deputy Innovation Officer from the Office of the City of San Francisco's Mayor Edward Lee, Judy Brown, co-founder of Civic Makers, and Susan Stewart Clark, a director at Common Knowledge. I'm going to turn to each person and have them describe a little bit about their own background and their mission with the organizations they represent. So, Krista, could you please provide our audience a background on yourself and the City of San Francisco's Office of Innovation?
I'm Krista Kanellakis. I'm the Deputy Innovation Officer for Mayor Lee in his Office of Civic Innovation. A little bit of background about myself. I was an entrepreneur, actually, before coming to work for government, and never would have imagined enjoying working for government, but have found it to be very rewarding and an opportunity to bring those entrepreneurial skills into solving some of our city's biggest challenges and really shine light on the ways that our innovative community can help make our city government better.
Thank you. And Susan Stewart Clark.
I'm Susan Stewart Clark, founder and director of Common Knowledge, an organization I founded to bring forth having a more innovative and inclusive democracy. Common Knowledge works with community groups, grassroots, multilingual, multicultural, but also local government. And even though our work has been at the national, state, and local level, the most exciting things happening in democracy right now are in our cities.
Thank you, Susan. And now I'm going to turn to Judy.
I'm Judy Brown. I came to San Francisco about 4 years ago to attend Presidio Graduate School, which has been a pioneer in the green MBA concept. However, given my public management background, working for nonprofits, doing some strategic planning consulting with local governments, it made sense for me to be part of their third cohort of the Master's in Public Administration in Sustainable Management. So luckily, what that provided me was not only the skills around public management, human resource management that you would get with a typical MPA, but I was learning alongside some private sector colleagues and was able to sort of witness some of the differences between both my degree program and the ways in which we were implementing products and connecting among players in the civic tech space that we were seeing, from nonprofits to social businesses to technologists who were looking to work on public good projects. So we have hosted over 20 events for more than 2,000 civic innovators, and we have now kind of morphed into a civic innovation studio where we're connecting talent, tools, and knowledge for more impactful projects by building community, providing innovation consulting services for civic-minded agencies, organizations, and companies, and building tools to help accelerate the ability of communities to rapidly deploy collaborative solutions.
Thank you, Judy. We're now going to turn to each participant and ask them from their perspective, what is civic innovation? Why do we need civic innovation? And what are the benefits of civic innovation? So, Krista, would you like to start?
So I think innovation has come to mean many things to many different people. But for us, the way we think about it in the Mayor's Office of Civic Innovation is that it's not always about technology and building the next greatest app. It's really more about how can we solve old problems in new ways, and how can we foster a culture of innovation across city government. And if you think about all of the challenges that city faces, city government has everything from a zoo queue to an airport to a transportation department. And so we realize that these are really big challenges and that we know that the best ideas for solving some of the city's challenges may not come from within City Hall. We are lucky to be in San Francisco, where we have a lot of innovators who are civically minded and passionate. So what we really think about is from within the city, build sort of an ecosystem of entrepreneurs, civic entrepreneurs, both inside and outside of government. So outside of government, we have a robust, thriving entrepreneurial community. How can we, as a city government, shed light on some of the challenges that government is facing? So those technology entrepreneurs out there can really think about government as a space and the city as a space to apply their smart, their technical skills. And then on the other side, from within city government, we have this rich resource in our city employees who are deep experts in their policy areas and are really passionate about making the city better. So how can we also support our internal staff to become entrepreneurial and really use the modern best practices that are being applied in the private sector and in technology today?
Thank you, Krista. Susan Stewart Clark.
I really like what Krista said about solving old problems in new ways. And we talk a lot about disruption and innovation. And in my work, disruption is asking new questions. So for instance, in our work with grassroots community members, instead of saying, why don't you vote, which is a question that kind of shuts people's energy down, we ask, what do you care about in your community? And that leads to, we think, the second engine of innovation, which is what we call bridging innovation. And it's exactly what Krista was talking about, bringing new players together. And civic innovation to me is as much about the roles and how we change our roles. And instead of the government being the sole problem solver, which is downright impossible with the scope and the complexity of the problems we face, how can we help governments be conveners? Of course, one of the challenges with that is government culture isn't always set up to encourage risk-taking, innovation, how to have a learning community. So part of what our work at Common Knowledge is how do we create the space for those collaborations? And given my background originally as a communications professional, step one in all of this is civic participation. How can we get that broad cross-section of folks, not just the entrepreneurs, not just the professionals, but the grassroots community members who have insights about the problems and also assets and capacities to contribute? So that's really how we approach civic innovation. And as we get deeper into the conversation, we can tell you about what we've learned about partnering with the community and the amazing role that they can play in addressing our most vexing issues.
Judy?
Build off of what you're both saying, Krista, about innovation not being just about technology. We look at it as also new types of dialogue and facilitation, similar to what you're saying, Susan. And there's more traditional definition of civic, which is the relationship between citizens and their government. But we're seeing that civic innovation is bringing a broader definition that is not just the relationship between citizens and their government, but relationship of citizens to each other. And this is where we really think that the civic innovation work can help create a broader engagement piece, similar to what Susan is saying. And the way that I think about it is public-private collaboration and breaking up of silos and being able to apply some private sector tools to the public sector and vice versa.
I want to turn to the panel of experts and ask each of them to provide examples of civic innovation projects and programs. And I'm going to start with Judy on this one.
Some examples of civic innovation, it broadly would be the open data movement. As governments have opened their data, we've seen a real response from the community. Technologists are looking to build solutions around some of that data that has become available. And what it's doing is putting data directly into the hands of residents, an example of which would be crime mapping. So Oakland Crime Spotting is an interactive map of crimes in Oakland and a tool for understanding crime. Another example that we happen to be really excited about is participatory budgeting processes. And in 2016, just in February, San Jose held a citywide budget engagement where 300 residents came to respond to a $64 million budget around city maintenance and beautification, which gave residents this kind of purchasing power and encouraged collaboration, both among the 300 residents who were present, but also some city officials. So another example that we've seen is Code for America's Brigade Network and Civic Hacking, which has shown us interest from the community to build solutions, share skills, and Civic Makers has actually worked actively with the Code for San Francisco Brigade to help build our platform.
I'm going to now turn to Susan Stewart Clark.
Since I started the work of Common Knowledge with the focus on civic participation and how could we encourage more grassroots folks to get involved, the power of technology to make information more accessible is very important. And Judy referenced some participatory activities, dialogue, helping people see the data and then also have dialogue so they can make their own meaning of the data. We're very interested in civic tech and civic innovation being an interactive dialogue instead of just a souped up outreach, push it out kind of tool. And I'm on the board of something called the National Coalition for Dialogue and Deliberation. We're a network of over 30,000 people across the country who are committed to different ways of civic participation and community engagement. And we have been doing numerous studies, webinars, and so forth, ncdd.org, on how to do the best of combining online platforms with in-person engagement. So for us, the tech tools have been something we've been working with for 5+ years. But I want to build on what Judy had to say about the Code for America volunteer brigades. Because back to this point that Krista has and the city has, how do you create a learning community instead of just, I have to do it right and be kind of bulletproof in my approach? And I like the Code for America brigades, the Oakland one, the San Francisco one, because they're very accessible. Open Oakland had one where it was, let's all try and rebuild the city's website together. And community members, whether they were tech folks or not, were invited in and made welcome. And at the end of a day long of effort, city employees saw that the community wanted to help. And that kind of enhanced their morale, too. The San Francisco Brigade is really exciting in terms of how they're bringing formerly homeless people in to not only cater to the work, but help co-design apps for other homeless people. So we see some really exciting bridging. Remember, I'm all about the bridging innovation. So we see these examples. I think the next step is understanding how for people working on what in the biz we call wicked problems, the ones that are just really complicated system level problems, there's a practice called collective impact where you get a lot of professionals lined up, the public sector, the service agencies, certain private sector partners, and they're using data dashboards to try and have, you know, aligned effort towards shared goals. And for me, the next frontier of civic innovation is who's doing that in a way that really brings the grassroots in. And we have projects that are along those lines.
And then Krista, from a city of San Francisco's point of view.
So I think building on everything that Susan and Judy are saying is we want to be a government that is open and inventive and responsive. But in order to do that, we need to create these pathways in. I think sometimes a lot of people see government as this black box and you don't know who to talk to. There's 27,000 people, but who are they and what have they worked on? And how do you actually get things done in government? And so with the work that both Susan and Judy are doing are sort of creating these inroads into people within government. One of the programs that we're really proud of is our Startup in Residence program, where we are shining light on some of the department's big technology challenges. So we went around and spoke with all of our big agencies and asked, what are problems that you're working on that you think can be solved by technology? And we helped them to sort of really frame what that challenge would look like. And we put out an open call. So we put out a worldwide open call for startups all over the world. And this program is a way for those startups to come in and sit side by side with a city employee to really understand what are the pain points of the city employee? How can we build something that is really responding to their need? You know, sometimes we see these large kind of procurement, our RFP, request for proposal documents that don't always help you understand what really is the problem. And so the way this program is really bringing the technology experts with the policy experts to help build solutions that are really meaningful. So to sort of break down some of those barriers that we see.
Thank you, Krista. I'm going to turn to our guests today and ask each of them to kind of walk us through a civic innovation program or programs and projects and the impact these programs and projects have on our civic engagement. I'm going to turn back to Krista from the city of San Francisco.
The Startup in Residence program that I mentioned is one great example of a way that government is really increasing civic engagement. But what does that actually look like? So I'd love to tell a story of the first year of our startup program where we were speaking with the airport, San Francisco Airport, and they were really searching to find a solution to help the blind and visually impaired navigate around the airport. If you can imagine, if you were a blind traveler getting dropped off at the curb and trying to find your way to your gate, I think for all of us, that process can be extremely difficult. And so they really wanted to make that experience better for low vision travelers, but they hadn't yet found a way of doing that. And so they came to us, we worked with them to scope out what technology might look like. But we really put out an open call, and we found there was a company actually based in Austria who had done a lot of indoor navigation for a train station in Europe. And so they found this problem interesting. They came and they worked side by side with the airport. Startup within a few weeks had developed a pretty simple prototype, and they said, okay, well, you know, we think this looks pretty good, but maybe we should test it. And so we have this wonderful local organization, Lighthouse for the Blind, who we asked to do some user testing on this app. And they immediately said, nope, this really doesn't make sense for us. And indoors, the startup, you know, their eyes were really opened. You know, they had made a lot of assumptions about what this app should look like. But when Lighthouse came in, they were testing it, and they really helped to shape what that end smartphone app looked like. And in that story, by the end of the four-month program, the startup, Lighthouse for the Blind, and the airport were really able to build something that was meaningful. And for the first time, one of the participants who worked with the startup at the end of the program was able to walk through the airport independently and get to her destination. And so we love that example because it's really, how can we really nudge the technology sector to think about challenges that they might not have any kind of insight or exposure to? You know, blind and visually impaired travelers, they weren't on their roadmap. You know, they didn't even think of them as a user group. But through this program, they were able to see this is an important user that city government really needs to address, and that every airport in the world and every indoor space could benefit from. So we're really proud of that outcome.
And Susan?
Well, George, I really like that you called this program civic innovation, which to me is the next generation of civic tech. And my dialogue buddies asked me, what is this civic tech? And I explained to them, it's in the civic arena, bringing the best of technology. And I think Krista's story points to what is some of the best of technology, which is good UX, good user-centered design. And that's where Common Knowledge has spent a lot of time understanding how community members do or don't interact with government, not just on service delivery, but on making decisions and participating so that their perspectives can get woven into more sustainable, inclusive, and representative policy. So a story I have started here in San Francisco when I was a library-based literacy tutor with the San Francisco Public Library, had the opportunity to work with people who were not voting. And many people may not realize the number one variable that will predict if you're a voter or not is, did you grow up in a family that voted? So if you didn't, then we need to do some fairly thoughtful intervention. And if you do a survey among people, why aren't you voting? People in a survey will tell you, I'm too busy or I don't like politics. But here's where the more thoughtful user discussion and dialogue came into play. So these library-based literacy students were co-creators of the Key to Community project. And we found out from them, yeah, they were busy. Yeah, they didn't like politics, but two other things were going on. One was there was a fair amount of performance anxiety. The information about voting came at a reading level and in a technical jargon that didn't make sense to them. So they couldn't really make a connection between their lives and what was on the ballot. And the second is, if they hadn't voted before, they had some hazy, not so friendly notion of what going to vote would be like. Pretty much like a trip to the DMV. You're going to stand in line, take a long test. It's not going to be pleasant. So these community members had the user insight to say, let's create something where we can say the issues we care about, make our own meaning about them. So they did dialogues on the issues they chose, which created an appetite for a peer-led fun, hands-on voting workshop, which created the appetite for a nonpartisan, easy-to-read voter guide called the Easy Voter Guide, which has been published for every statewide election since this project started in the mid-90s. So for me, we know that we need to do good problem definition. We want good technical people. We want good policy people. But I think the beauty of civic innovation is the more we can get right into those user insights in the community and let the community co-create it with you. I get so excited about the story. I neglected to say that we had so many partners around the state, but right here, San Francisco City College, community colleges, adult schools, library-based literacy programs, we were able to test the model. And people who participated in the dialogue, the workshop, or the Easy Voter Guide, just two of those three, voted at a rate of 72% versus 36% for people who did not participate in the program. So the community members had the insight to double voting turnout.
Thank you, Susan. And Judy?
Yes, definitely agree with what Kristen and Susan have been saying around the nuances between civic innovation and civic tech, particularly the sort of civic tech mantra of designing with, not for, and the application of human-centered design for products and services that are intended to serve a diverse constituency. So I want to talk about a couple different tools that Civic Makers has worked with or had the opportunity to work alongside to innovate on this civic engagement piece of civic innovation. So one of those is Neighborland, which is a platform that is innovating on the public commenting process. And basically what they are providing is a way for residents to put projects up that they want to see completed or to provide input on different projects that are already happening. So last week I had the opportunity to participate in one of the in-person convenings called the Dogpatch Public Realm Plan, which was created in partnership with SF Planning, SFMTA, Rec and Parks Department, so many different agencies. And the goals were to guide funding, reflect priorities of the residents, create better agency coordination and connections, and come away with an implementation plan that was co-designed with residents. And then part of what the platform provides is a way for, like Susan was saying, that blend of the in-person and online interactions so that you're taking what is happening when people are meeting in person and brainstorming together and putting that somewhere where it can be shared with a broader array of residents who may not have been able to make it to that particular event.
Thank you, Judy. So I wanted to turn back to everyone and just ask for your insight into recommended actions or solutions for civic engagement. What would you like to see community members do to act? With that, I'm going to turn it over to Judy.
So we definitely need more technologists moving into government jobs. And luckily, there are some exciting opportunities to do so. One of which is the creation of the United States Digital Service under President Obama. They are focused on design and technology for better service delivery of all types of different agencies, from veterans and health insurance to student loans, electronic health records, and tools to combat human trafficking. And the point of the USDS was to bring some of the speed and agility of Silicon Valley to the federal government. There's also 18F, which was built in the spirit of America's top tech startups. There's actually an office in City Hall in San Francisco. And with some of the transformations that are happening in local governments, as Krista has been describing, through civic innovation, these public sector jobs should be more attractive to millennials and technologists, and we really need them in that space to push this movement forward.
Thank you very much, Judy. I'm going to turn to Susan Stewart-Clark.
What I love about the civic innovation movement is it has a place for people like me who aren't technologists but really care about how can we dig in together and work on our toughest problems. And one of my favorite places to go is the Code for America San Francisco Brigade, which is a volunteer group that is open to all kinds of smart technologists and other people like myself interested in the problems. And they meet every Wednesday night at the Code for America offices on 9th Street. I highly recommend you check it out. The great thing about the data behind the civic innovation movement is it gives us a common reference point, a common ground. Oftentimes, we're arguing about assumptions. But when we combine the human insights we've been talking about in this show with the concrete data, you can really anchor a whole group around a common understanding and make a lot of progress. And that's why groups like the National Coalition for Dialogue and Deliberation and other resources. So if you're not a technologist, but you want to have decent conversations, you can go to those groups, ncdd.org. But I get really excited about the possibilities here at the local level. We may be a little frustrated with democracy at the national level, but if you start hanging out with some of these civic innovation projects, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Krista, can you tell us, our listening audience, a little bit about how, as members of our community, they can get civically engaged with the Office of Innovation?
So echoing both Judy and Susan, I would encourage everyone to first consider a career in public service. It's something that has been extremely rewarding for me, and I think there are growing opportunities to work in local government. For me, cities are small enough to act, but big enough to matter. And so working in city government is a really cool, exciting, and challenging place to kind of apply your skills. Also, the Brigade is a really wonderful meeting place, and I'm always encouraging my city colleagues to be there and sort of make themselves available to some of the community members that show up. Thirdly, our office will soon be launching open office hours. So we want to talk the talk. And if we're open government, we want to be truly open and make space for people to come and meet our team. And so I would encourage everyone to check out our website, innovatesf.com, where we will be posting those hours online.
Krista, is there anything else that you would like people in San Francisco to do? Are there events to show up at or things that they could share with others? Go to your website on studies, plans.
Yeah, our website is a good resource. I would say our Twitter account is also really active and a great way to keep in touch with us. And that is at SFMOCI. And so I'd encourage anyone to reach out to us on there and learn more about what they can do to make our city better.
Thank you, Krista. Susan, how can people get engaged in Common Knowledge?
We're really excited about all the different ways that people can get involved in civic innovation. One of the things we didn't touch on yet is something called creative placemaking. And there's all kinds of events and happenings all around San Francisco where people are just coming together to add new vitality to neighborhoods. So whether you are an artist or an educator or some other kind of community member, please participate in the civic innovation. And at our organization, Common Knowledge, the website is ckgroup.org. And we try and stay on top of these different kinds of opportunities and how the field is evolving so that we really can have that more inclusive and innovative democracy.
Thank you, Susan. And now we're going to turn to Judy, talk a little bit about civic makers and all of the ways that they reach out to our civic being.
So as I mentioned earlier, we grew out of convening different types of civic innovators around various issues, and we continue to do that. So you can go to civicmakers.com and sign up for our newsletters, read about some of our past and upcoming events. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter would be at civicmakers.
Before we close, let's recognize today's voices. Krista Konolakis, Deputy Innovation Officer in former Mayor Lee's Office of Civic Innovation, Susan Stewart-Clark, Founder and Director of Common Knowledge, and Judy Brown, Co-Founder of Civic Makers. We produce this archive highlight series to give you context, to show that crises we face today aren't new, and neither are the solutions. If you want to go deeper, visit voicesofthecommunity.com and click on the archive series where you'll find full bios for every guest, links to every original episode, and resources from every organization doing this work on the ground. You can hear more from Judy in episode 50 and from Susan in episode 62 of our COVID-19 special series. And if this show gave you something, put a value on it. Your donation directly funds the next series. Go to voicesofthecommunity.com and click on the donate button to support our work.
These shows are only possible because of our dedicated team, associate producer Eric Estrada for his co-hosting and technical wizardry, and designer Casey Nance of Citron Studios for making the show look exceptional. A special thanks to Dr. Cecil Hale for supporting Voices of the Community at KCSF, and to broadcast partners KSFP, LPFM 102.5 FM in San Francisco, and KPCA LPFM 103.3 FM in Petaluma, and of course to KCSF that you can stream on TuneIn for amplifying these voices. I'm George Koster in San Francisco, and join us for our next episode as we continue lifting the voices that shape and strengthen our communities. Thank you for listening, supporting, and sharing. Until then, remember, your voice matters.